The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I think we will eventually get some indication on what that dispute was about. This was a holiday party. Maybe it was called a Christmas party. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many potential triggers here. It's really unclear.
Now you understand why the media is worthless, why the American people look at them, what they really are. They're morons. They're dumb. They're fundamentally aiding and abetting terrorism by denying who did it right from the get-go, even after they know they were Muslims, even after they know there were ties to terrorist groups, even after they know that this was done out of a spiteful hate for anyone except Muslims. They go on and on with the same lies that it was could be workplace violence. Welcome to the show. We have an awful lot to talk about. I invite you to call the Savage Nation at 855-407-282. When I woke this morning, I woke slowly and got out of bed even more slowly before I went near the computer to see the lies that the media and the president would spew to cover up another Muslim massacre in the United States of America. And all I could think about was, which executive actions will Donald Trump take to undo the massacre against our freedoms that we are living through being conducted by Hussein Obama? I mean, we've gone from Bonnie and Clyde to Farouk and Tashfeen. Maybe they can make a movie about it. Calling Spielberg, calling Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, who are AWOL in the war on terror. You're afraid to name Muslims. You're afraid to show the Muslim murders. You're quick to point out evil racist whites, Katzenberg. Maybe you can do a glorification of Farouk and Tashfeen. Make them into folk heroes. Maybe you can star some of your Hollywood friends. But let's look at the facts before we get even more emotionally angry. Who was it in the media who said the name before 6 hours before anyone else? It was I. I gambled and went out on a limb when no one else would. And when I got the information from one of the guys who works on the show, Jim, I said, Jim, can you confirm that name? Where is it from? And he said it's from a Twitter news feed. I said, do you realize if I read this name, it could be a career killer? If I read the name, it could be a career builder. He said, I'm telling you, it's from a Twitter feed. I took the chance because every instinct in me told me this was a terror-related incident. Everything in me, by what they were saying and what they were implying in the cover-up, indicated to me it was another Islamic terror attack in America. And yet, here we are sitting the next day when the whole world knows it to be a repeat of Paris on a minor scale, thank God. And the only reason it was a repeat of Paris on a minor scale is because of the brave men in tactical gear who had the guts to have a shootout with these pieces of human trash, these subhumans. Don't you dare glorify them in front of me. Don't you dare call them a married couple with a baby. They're untermenschen. They're humans. They're humans to who? Humans go into a disabled clinic and shoot people up with automatic weapons? That's subhuman behavior. Malik, a native of Pakistan, who came to the U.S. on a fiancé visa. Did you know that Obama created a fiancé visa to bring in more Muslims at a quicker pace? You didn't know that. You didn't hear that yet on any show? Oh, yeah, there's another one he created. While you slept, the man with the most demonic eyes in history. I watched Obama speak. I got to tell you, I saw a pure demon sitting in a chair. If I saw a monster created by Hollywood, and I put those eyes in the monster, they couldn't have been more terrifying. They were blank and monstrous. The monster created another way to get in more of them. Malik, a native of Pakistan, came to the U.S. on a fiancé visa and later became a lawful permanent resident. By the way, where is DHS Chief Jed Johnson? Where's Jed Johnson? Why isn't he fired? Why isn't he thrown out on his legal keister? He's failed us again. Here are some other random notes I made early this morning. Forgive me. They were emotional. Point four. Only racial profiling can help prevent the next Muslim terrorist jihad in the U.S. Point number five on the Savage Pad this morning. Why isn't his mosque being investigated for those like him? In France, they closed down four mosques after the latest terror attack. Liberal socialist France closed down the four most radical mosques. Why is there no investigation of the mosque that this animal came from? Why? Well, I'll let you figure it out. Point six, should CARE be closed down for covering up the slaughter? Because we'll play you some of the CARE sound bites, and you'll see that they're nothing but a propaganda arm. Seven, I don't know why there's no outrage for the excessive force used by the FBI. Don't Muslim lives matter? Perhaps Farouk's hands were up. Maybe Freak's hands were in the air. Maybe Freak Saeed's hands were in the air with his young bride. Maybe they were afraid of the racist police with the tactical gear, and they were running away because they're afraid of the overly militarized police. I mean, don't Muslim lives matter? Maybe their hands were up. Don't shoot. Did the police kill these two Muslims in cold blood? I mean, where is Ayatollah Sharpton on this case? I wrote. Point number eight, Dianne Feinstein, you demagogue, you. AR-15s are banned in California as a result of your actions. Where did Farouk the Freak get his AR-15s, Dianne? And here's the most pregnant question of the day on the Savage Nation. All day long, we were told there were three shooters. I heard it from the beginning to the end. Then I was told one was on the ground and two escaped in a car. Where is the third shooter? Every eyewitness, every media expert said that there were three shooters. Am I the only one who's not deaf, dumb, and blind in America? I wake up and suddenly there were two shooters and they're dead. Where's the third shooter? I want an answer. It's blank. It's blacked out. Who was the third shooter? You want to talk about that? Where is the third shooter? Don't tell me there were only two. You know and I know there were three. We saw it from the beginning. Where did the third shooter go? Why is nobody in the great media saying, well, initially there were three shooters. How did it become two? Where are they? Well, these are some of the notes I made this morning. Michael Savage reported shooter's name hours before the media was written and published by WorldNet Daily this morning. Thank you, guys. Thanks, Art. Thank you, Joseph. Some 5 hours before police publicly identified Saeed Freak as one of the three suspects in the attack Wednesday on a social services facility that killed at least 14 people, talk radio host Michael Savage announced Freak's name on the air. Freak was one of the two people shot to death in a gun battle with officers. The other was 27-year-old Freak's wife, Tashfeen Malik, who a family member said was Freak's wife. Savage picked up the suspect's name from a Twitter account that was monitoring a police scanner. Freak, described by co-workers as a devout Muslim, had worked at the San Bernardino County Department of Public Health for 5 years, basically as a food inspector. It, by the way, it's about the lowest job you could have in the government. They go into restaurants and look for rat droppings, which is about all he was fit for. After Savage announced Freak as a possible suspect, at 4:12 p.m. Pacific Eastern Time, he commented on how reticent Obama and his Department of Homeland Security is to connect Islam to the ongoing threat of terrorism. Savage put himself in the position of a DHS officer in the wake of the attack during his show Wednesday. He said, you start piecing things together. Christmas party. Saeed Farouk. I just wonder. Am I allowed to even think that? No, you wouldn't say it to your superior, Savage said. Don't even suggest it if you're in the DHS or the FBI. Sit there like a dummy and make believe you don't know. Wait for the geniuses at the top to tell you what to think. Wait until the great president himself gives a speech before you say anything about who possibly could have done this or where they're hiding. That's the opening to the show. The phone number here is 855-400-7282. It's a very sad day in America, not only because of the innocent victims of this Muslim mayhem, but because of the absolute cover-up coming from the rotten fish straight down. There's an old adage, a fish rots from the head down. And this rotten fish is rotting the entire nation. He is dismembering the nation. He is taking the nation apart at every level. Did you see this little story that came out a day after another Muslim jihad attack in America? The day after, meaning today, the fool that they put in the Defense Department, Ash Carter, another fool, another useful stooge, has ordered the military to open up all combat jobs to women. That's right. He just announced it the day after another jihad attack in America. He is giving the armed services until January 1 to submit plans to make the historic change. Now, this rebuffs arguments from the Joint Chiefs of Staff chairman that the Marine Corps should be allowed to exclude women from certain frontline combat jobs, citing studies showing that mixed gender units aren't as capable as all male units. A senior defense official says all the services will have to begin putting women on frontline duty by April 1. He is dismembering every aspect of the United States of America. Everything in America that is good, sound, and protective is being destroyed by one demonic Caesar. I can't even mention his name anymore. It's so apparent to me who he is. It's so apparent to me what he is. It's so apparent to me who he works for that I don't even have to say it anymore, because I'd only be repeating what I've written in my two last books. I wrote in Stop the Coming Civil War. I gave you 300 and some odd pages referenced. Every statement I made was referenced. Going back to the original site, the original article. In Government Zero, I tried like Paul Revere to warn you what was coming. Many of you, you figure, what the heck? I don't need to know it. He doesn't know what he's talking about, or I heard it all before. No, you haven't heard it all before. You have no idea what he plans next. I do, because I study these things. I lay it out chapter by chapter, verse by verse, statement by statement. But okay, go on with your Christmas plans. Where is the third shooter? Can anyone answer that question? Every eyewitness said that they saw three shooters throughout the entire engagement. Where is the third shooter? Let's take some calls. WABC Leeson, line 5, fire away.
Hi, Michael. I just wanted to thank you so much for having the courage to say this man's name on the air, because I really feel if you didn't do that, the media probably would have worked harder at trying to cover this whole thing up. And it takes the bravery of somebody like you to put the truth out there where you cannot hide it.
Well, this is not about bravery anymore. This is about life and death. We are fighting for the last vestiges of our nation. I don't think you know how far this has gone. I don't think you know how bad Obama really is and what he intends to do next. He is behind, not behind the Terrorist Act. That's absurd to even suggest that. That's not what I'm saying. He is permitting this to happen through his enabling this. He's enabling it by not stating it for what it is. He won't even call it Islamic terrorism. He said it might be workplace violence. How can a nation survive its fools? How is it even possible for a nation to survive a fool whose loyalty itself is questioned by so many intelligent people? This is no longer just a stupid man, because he is by far not a stupid man. This is a very diabolical man. So as I say to you, you know, I've been in this country since I was born, obviously. I was born here. I'm the son of an immigrant. I was always taught by my liberal professors to leave the country a better place than the one I found. And I wake up like Rip Van Savage, and I don't see a better place than the one I found. I see a far, far more evil place, a far, far more chaotic place, a far, far more deceitful place. That's what I see. But ultimately, I see a far, far more dangerous place for the children in this country, all because of one single demonic Caesar. There's nothing more I can say. I'll open it up to you. I have many more facts I want to get to. All the facts of the case. And there's something so wrong with the picture that perhaps you, the American people, will help us put the pieces together again.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO.
It is possible that this was terrorist-related, but we don't know. It's also possible that this was workplace-related. And until the FBI has been able to conduct what are going to be a large number of interviews, until we understand the nature of the workplace relationship
between a lying man.
The
who believes
individual
this character anymore?
And his superiors, because he worked with the organization where this terrible shooting took place, until all the social media and electronic information has been exploited, we're just not going to be able to answer those questions.
You know, he talks to that inner circle of dunces like this, and they shake their heads like in a college meeting. And he thinks that when he goes out on the world stage, the rest of us are those dunces that he hired. But the rest of the world is looking right through this shadowy character. Everyone knows he's a liar. Everyone knows he's a fraud. Everyone knows he's not really conducting a war against the enemies of our freedoms. Well, maybe he's right, though. You know, maybe it wasn't premeditated. You know, we could say it was workplace-related and some Christian offended him and said something derogatory about his Muslim religion. And he ran to his large blacked-out SUV and put on body armor, had the AK-47s ready, and bombs, because he was offended by the Christmas tree. Now, of course, it was a holiday party. There's probably not even a Christmas tree in America allowed anymore. But let's say just the idea that it was a holiday party implied it was not a Muslim-approved party. Holiday doesn't mean everyone knows a code word for white male Christian racist. So he was offended by this. And it's good to know that it wasn't premeditated. He regularly drives around in a large blacked-out SUV in body armor with his old lady, with AK-47s and bombs made up in the basement. And he needed those bombs and all of those weapons because of the racist nation. I mean, if this wasn't a violent nation, if it was peaceful like, let us say, Pakistan, or peaceful like Syria, he wouldn't need bombs and guns and body armor. He could just practice his religion of peace. But because of the offenses that he incurs on a daily basis, like pork being sold, for example, and alcohol, don't you understand why?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
We don't know the motives. Is it work, rage related? Is it mental illness? Is it extreme ideology? At this point, it's really unknown to us, and it's too soon for us to speculate.
That's the propaganda front group CARE, the so-called leader on the San Bernardino massacre. It may be work-related or mental illness. They had the storyline ready to go. Now, once again, DHS has failed us. Any sane nation would replace the head of the DHS, put in a former combat Marine, a former combat anyone, and get rid of this lawyer from Wall Street who runs DHS. I don't think you've looked into who Jed Johnson is. I mean, just listen to him. You know he doesn't know what he's talking about. He is a Wall Street lawyer. Where is Jed Johnson the day after this big attack in America? Nowhere to be seen. Why is he not fired? A decent leader, a CEO, would fire the head of a department to let this happen. Bingo, you're gone. And we're putting in this person to give Americans the confidence they need today. But he's no better than his boss. Failed us again. He was on their watch list. Did you know that? Freak was on their watch list. Saeed Rizwan Freak had been in contact with more than one international terrorism subject whom the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Islam, was already investigating, a law enforcement source told the Post. The Federal Bureau of Islam knew that he was in touch with others that the Federal Bureau of Islam was looking at, and he very well could have been radicalized, but they didn't do anything about it because the Federal Bureau of Islam is not allowed to do anything before they kill. That you can thank the legal system for. Look at his name, Farouk, for example. It's a common Arabic given and family name, and it's named for an early Muslim leader named Umar. Go look up Umar. You'll see what a doll he was. When you see early Muslim leader, you'll see murder, and you'll see a trail of blood the size of a Lake Placid. But Al-Farouk literally means the one who distinguishes between right and wrong. Well, he was just acting out his namesake. He didn't think that what these people stood for was right. That's all. And so he took things in his matters in his hands, his own hands. That's all. I mean, you can't. The man is taught by his holy book to take any situation, and he decides, like God himself, what's right and wrong. All right, look, we can be sarcastic as long as we want. It's not going to change anything. We have a government zero. A zero government. The day after a tragedy like that, we learned he was basically talking to a terrorist, and DHS did nothing, FBI did nothing, CIA did nothing. Name all of the alphabet agencies who are watching you. Where's the great NSA? They're watching every one of us. If you say something to a friend of yours that they don't like, I guarantee you the black SUVs will arrive. Where was the NSA? Where was the FBI? Where was DHS? Why is the head of DHS not fired today? Where is the Republican Party calling for a head to roll, saying, no, we're not going to put up with this one more day? Where is the Republican Party? We don't have one. See, in a vigorous democracy, we'd have an angry reaction today from the opposition party, demanding that changes be made at the upper levels of the intelligence agencies. But there is no one there. There's nobody home. You know, the old adages all apply. The lights are on, but nobody's home. There's nobody there. There's nobody in the Republican Party. The only ones who are active are running for office. They're useless. They're just campaigners. They have no power, none whatsoever. So the active party itself, the opposition party, at a time like this in a participatory democracy, I should say a parliamentary system like England, they would be having a vigorous back and forth argument right now in the House of Commons, and they would at least express what the people themselves feel is going on, but not in our country. Instead, we rely upon drug addicts in the media to give us the rubbish that we've become used to. How do they even pay them such salaries to say such rotten lies day and night? It is becoming horrific to turn on the media and see these people saying such stupid things after a massacre like this. Well, anyway, there's only so much any of us can do about this. The country is melting down right in front of our eyes because of one Caesar. Every aspect of this country is under assault, whether it be Homeland Security, which is non-existent, ISIS rampaging without any opposition to speak of. The military is under attack by Obama, now forcing women into combat roles on the front lines when it's failed even in Israel, which is an extremely pluralistic military. They tried women on the front lines and they had to take them back because it was actually endangering all the men in the commando units, and they said, no, it can't work. They know this. Zero education, zero culture, zero immigration, zero religion, zero science, zero business sense, zero liberty, zero police. So what hope is there? I mean, have you given up hope? Many people have given up hope, and I say don't give up hope. When I closed my book, I had an epilogue, Don't Give Up Hope, and I kind of gave you, I don't know, 40 solutions to save America. But I wake up each day, I don't know if this can even happen anymore. Well, close the borders completely for 7 years, it's a good idea. Who's going to do it? Repeal the Anchor Babies Law? Who's going to do it? Make English the official language of the United States? Who's going to do it? Require government-issued ID to vote? Who's going to do it? Restore to active duty all the military officers purged by Obama? Who's going to do it? Well, it's all in there. And it's a very stark reality that we're facing today, isn't it? And I've given you basically all that you need to know at this point. I love that he wasn't radicalized till he went to Saudi Arabia and he met a bride. So she's actually the one who instigated this. Did you figure that out yet? I love the dunces in the media. Oh, there was a woman. Isn't this odd? Ashley, isn't this an odd situation? A woman terrorist? We've never heard of women terrorists. Why, I never heard of that. A woman, ooh, aren't women gentle? Aren't all women nice and kind? I never saw anything like this. Are these people that brain dead and that drugged that they could say a thing like that on a national television show as they did over and over again? Woman, just shocked by a woman, aren't you? Over to you, Ashley. They forgot that in Paris there were women executing people on the floor of that nightclub, mutilating people on the floor with knives. They forgot Russia. in that theater where the women and those burkas sat with the bombs? They forgot about that? This witch, he met this witch in Saudi Arabia during one of their Hajj jobs. Great religion. Went there for a Hajj, met the woman. She's the one who radicalized them. You can't put two and two together yet? They fixed them up with a terrorist woman. She came back and told them how to do this, is my estimation. A woman suddenly can't commit an act of terror to the dunces in the media. What world do they live in? I don't know what world they live in, but I don't live in that world. We all wake up after another one and another one and another. If it happened again today, tell me what would change. Question for the audience. If, God forbid, another group of Muslims went on a jihad today and did this again somewhere in another place, tell me what would change today. The answer is the same empty fools in the media would have their job tomorrow. The same liars in the media would have their job tomorrow. The same useless idiots in the intelligence agencies would have their job tomorrow. The same anti-American fraud in the White House would have his job tomorrow. Nothing would change. So what hope is there? I don't know. We're just sitting here as though a bomb has just gone off. It's like we're sitting here in a room where our neighbor's house has just been blown up. And our ears are ringing. Our ears are ringing from the sound of the bomb. And we're not allowed to even say what we know is true and what must be done. Nothing is being done. Absolutely nothing is being done to stop the next attack. Not a single thing is being done to stop the next attack. There's not one protocol that will change inside the Federal Bureau of Islam. Not one. There's not a single protocol that will change in DHS. Not one. There's not a single protocol that will change in any aspect of this society. Not one. Do you realize it was local police with the Federal Bureau of Islam that took down these two animals yesterday? I'm waiting to hear one person on MSNBC say it was excessive force. So I'm waiting for that tonight. Like, Martha, don't you think it was rather excessive for those police to have chased them in armored cars and used all those automatic weapons on them? Why couldn't they have used a stun gun? I'll turn it over to you, Martha. Well, you raise a good question, Hal. Many people in my circle are asking why the police used excessive force in that interchange with this young Muslim married couple. They certainly could have asked them to give up. I mean, don't Muslim lives matter? Didn't they come out with their hands up? I saw one scene where it looked like his hands were up, Martha. Over to you, Hal. Yeah, okay. Fine, I'll just keep going. 3 hours, I'll keep going. I've waited all night to get up today. I want to know where the head of the DHS is. I want to know where that Hollywood, Hollywood actor is. I meant to say I can't distinguish where the Wall Street actor is. He's a Wall Street lawyer from a major Wall Street firm running DHS. Nothing he ever said makes sense to me. He's a pure political appointee of the Caesar in the White House. Not fit for the job. He's failed us at every turn. He failed us in Boston. He failed us in San Bernardino. Why does he still have his job? Why? Because he does exactly what his boss tells him to do. Exactly why. The only independent person that I ever saw, that I see right now, until now, was Comey of the FBI. I've said it over and over again. Over and over again. He was the one who stood up to Obama and said, no, ISIS is not defeated. No, ISIS has operatives in 50 states. And Obama was very angry at that. Because the party line from Chairman Mao, Chairman Obama, was violated. You can't violate Chairman Obama's statements. No, sorry, Bob, not in the new freedoms that we have in this brave new
world. I just cannot express that how sad I am for, you know, what happened. I mean, the condolences to, you know, the people who lost their life. I am very sad that, you know, people lost their life and there's victims out there. I wish a speed recovery to them. And again, I am in shock that something like this could happen. I have no idea why would he do that. Why would he do something like this? I have absolutely no idea. I am in shock myself.
Oh, yeah, you're in shock. Yeah, the brother-in-law of the doll. Bonnie and Clyde, the brother-in-law, doesn't know why they did it. No idea. No idea. Can't figure it out. No idea. It's the first attack by a Muslim in the world. No idea where he got those ideas from. He must have picked up that Bible. Must have been that Christian Bible he was reading three times a day. Oh, wait, no. It was that Buddhist stuff that he found on a shelf. Yeah, that must have been what did it. No, it could have been that the Hindu sutras that did it. Yeah, sure, that's what they're... No idea. Never heard of a thing like this. That's the CARE front group. They marched him out. No idea. That's the brother, no less, of the doll who radicalized... Oh, it looks to me like she radicalized him. But the brother, this one knows nothing. He's another kind, calm guy. Has no idea why this happened. Move along, nothing to see here. There was no third shooter. That was a figment of your imagination for 6 straight hours. 6 hours, you didn't see a third person. Then we wake up and the FBI says there was no third person. It was just someone in the street. Some random person that they knocked to the ground, running out with them. Oh, and the neighbor who saw six Middle Eastern men coming and going in all times of the night from their garage where they were building their pipe bombs, didn't report it for fear of being called a racist. It just shows you how we've been destroyed. See, I blame liberalism. At the end of the day, you trace it back. It's the disease of liberalism that's killing us. People are not stupid. They have survival skills. But neighbors saw half a dozen Middle Eastern men coming and going from the apartment. Didn't know what they were doing there. He wanted to call the police, but he was intimidated that they'd call him a racist. And so he didn't call. If he did call, I guarantee you they would have arrested him anyway. He did the right thing. They probably would have arrested him for some kind of crime against Muslims just for reporting six men coming in and out of the apartment at all hours. That's right. And they left remote-controlled bombs at the party. They wore GoPro cameras during the massacre. So this is definitely workplace violence. And he ordinarily does drive around in a large, blacked-out SUV. And he always wears body armor when he goes to a office party. And he always takes his trusty AR-15. And, of course, he's got to have his pipe bombs. Him and the old lady had to make pipe bombs to go around those Christians. Got to have those pipe bombs and the AR-15s. And Dianne Feinstein, I hope you're not listening to this show because I'll ask you an embarrassing question. You outlawed the AR-15. I used to have one. I bought it in 1982. I had to get rid of it because you outlawed it in America. Great weapon. Fabulous weapon. Where did this Muslim get his AR-15, the two of them? Where'd they get the AR-15, Dianne? Where'd they buy it? I don't know. Where'd they buy it? Does anyone know? Can't investigate that. Who gave them the guns? Who bought it for them? No, we don't know. We need an investigation. Nothing to see here. Move along. So where does that leave we the people today? We know that we have no government. I mean, really, we do know that we have a rogue government that's so out of control that we are each man for himself. That's the truth. That is the take-home message. I don't really care if you're a liberal or whatever you are. It doesn't matter, race, religion. You know that you are now walking around naked and you are in fear. You know that and I know that. I don't care who you are. You could be the most, let us say, progressive individual on the planet. You know that you now fear what happened in Paris, what happened in San Bernardino, could happen to you, God forbid, in this country at any time, because you know your intelligence agencies have been, I don't have the right word for it. There's no correct word for what's been done to them under Obama's rules of non-engagement. What he's done to the U.S. Air Force, he's done to the FBI, he's done to the CIA, DHS, every agency. They have very brave, intelligent men and women in the streets, but you know and I know what their rules of engagement are. You know that they can't report what they see. You know that. So where does it leave you? You know that we have only one thing that France doesn't have, and that's the Second Amendment. You know we have nothing else to protect us but ourselves. Why do you think those evil old white males who gave us the Constitution and the Bill of Rights created a Second Amendment to the Bill of Rights? Why? What do you think that Second Amendment was written for? For target practice? To hunt rodents? You think it was written to hunt squirrels in Novato, California? Rabid squirrels? That Second Amendment was written specifically for the United States of America today, where we have zero government. I rest my case. I'm going to take a break, have a cup of tea, and be back to take your calls right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is possible that this was terrorist related, but we don't know. It's also possible that this was workplace related.
Liar, pants on fire. Can you sit and listen to this liar again?
Able to conduct what are going to be a large number of interviews.
Our turn. I really can't listen to it again. I'm sorry. It's not funny. It's not humorous. It's not worthy of our ears to listen to this man. If we had a sane nation, he wouldn't have been elected to begin with. He wouldn't have been reelected to begin with. And he certainly would have been impeached by now. But, okay, we're not a sane nation. We're a nation of drugged zombies. Drugged fat zombies marching around like sheep to the slaughter. This is the same man who just a week ago told the world there are no specific or credible threats against the United States. The same liar in the White House. A week ago said there are no specific or credible threats against the United States. And the FBI director had to correct him and say we have a great number of people under investigation or following. Do we have that soundbite? Here is your leader, your progressive president, a week ago.
Anytime there's an event, we learn something from it. And we continue to refine them. We continue to improve upon our approaches as we speak. Now, right now, we know of no specific and credible intelligence indicating a plot on the homeland.
That was a week ago.
And
stop right there. So that means that they've all failed us. If you were running a corporation and you had a CEO who was this stupid, this incompetent, you'd fire him. Wouldn't you replace your CEO? You get rid of him. If you were the board of directors, which we allegedly are in the United States of America, we are the board of directors. He is just the CEO. This guy is so bad, you dump him, get out of there. How many times can you fail us? You know what the stock of this nation is? It's a penny stock. It's been devalued. It's been taken off the big board. It's a penny stock. The United States is a penny stock because of the CEO. I'm trying to give you a business analogy. You change all the department heads in order to save your corporation. Why are we stuck with this dunce? The FBI just reported that the terrorist, Freak, whatever his name is, Freak, and his wife Tashfeen. The Freak visited both Saudi Arabia and Pakistan. His wife, the freakish terrorist, was here on a Pakistani visa. This is grating to me that this freakish wife of his, Malik, Tashfeen Malik, a native of Pakistan, was allowed into this beautiful nation on a so-called fiancé visa, an instrument created by the Islamists inside the United States government. And later, this freak became a lawful permanent resident. This is being reported by CNN. They created a new loophole to permit more of these freaks to come into the country, called a fiancé visa. You thought it was bad enough anchor babies? You didn't know about the fiancé visa till I reported it to you, did you? Look into it, see if I'm making it up. But there's a new poll out. Of course, we don't believe in polls. 57% of people now see guns as a solution, not a problem. No matter what the left-wing fanatics on medication will try to tell you, no matter how many of them try to strip you of your gun rights, with their relentless propaganda, 57% now see guns as a solution, not a problem. Washington Post, Pew Research Center, pretty valid. I mean, you could say it's liberal. We normally say, come on. But even the liberal Pew Research Center has published this for 2014. Percent of Americans who say gun ownership could protect people from becoming victims of crime. It's now 57%, according to the Pew Research Center. Americans increasingly see guns as the solution, not the problem. The only people who don't are those who are afraid of guns. I call them gunophobes. You could have a picture of a gunophobe. That would be a Woody Allen. A guy like Woody Allen or a guy like that type, I'm using a type, are afraid of guns. The neurotic type. The neurotic New York is afraid of a gun. He thinks a gun could go off and kill him. He doesn't know how a gun works. Worse yet, he fears if he had a gun, he'd use it on himself. Because they usually going to therapists for 40 or 50 years. They're on antidepressants, tranquilizers. They're all afraid of guns. Guys in Hollywood who make their living extolling violence are afraid of guns. They're the only ones who are against it. But they have bodyguards who are not afraid of guns. Katzenberg, Matzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Weinstein, that type. The laughable types who have ruined the American mind and polluted the entire world atmosphere with their pollution and their pornography. So what can I tell you today that I haven't told you already? Probably a lot, but I don't want to overload you because I know many of you are very, very emotionally, frankly, as wrecked as many people as I hear are. I had a call this morning from someone in the media who is a friend of mine, and he said to me, did you sleep well last night? I said, of course I did. He said, you're the only one who did. He said, everyone I know is nervous, didn't sleep well. I said, that's why I'm still here, and most of them won't be here at my age. I said, I have techniques. He said, well, what'd you take? I said, I took nothing. I don't use drugs. I don't use medication. I don't use sleeping pills. I slept like a baby, frankly. I slept like a baby. I do my work. I was up till midnight on Facebook, updating my listeners, 130. I don't know whatever the number is. It's not a number matter. Not everything has a quantification to it. Putting a few articles up, reading as much as I could, digging into it. And then I frankly went into bed and turned the lights off, and I slept till the sun came up. Now, it's true, as I awakened, as the light comes through the curtain, I did have some thoughts. And the first thoughts I had were, what would be the first executive actions I would take if I were president after this creature leaves us? What would Trump do if he wins? Then I changed it to, what will Trump do if he wins? What would his moves be? Because he's got to do something immediately. And there were a whole host of things that came to my mind. The first issue, as I've told you before, is national security. How many years have I told you on this show that, to me, if I grade issues that are of importance to me, the number one issue is national security? That goes hand in glove with radical Islam. So the first thing I would do is investigate all the mosques in America, and I would make certain that we would do what France does, and I close down those that are radicalizing people. The second thing I would do is force the owners of Twitter, Facebook, and the other greedy billionaires to engage in the war against radical Islamic terror. They have the power to do so. Oh, so I'm sorry, your daughter won't be able to talk about her fingernail polish. If they interfered with the Twitter feeds, they couldn't gossip about their lipstick or what dance they went to. What a loss that would be. So all of these pleasure principle enterprises that have been created to create these new billionaires are being used by the vermin to attack us. Think about that one. That's quite ironic in its own way. The very weaknesses of the West are being exploited by these psychotics to kill us. Okay, the very tools of weakness, I meant to say. The very tools of weakness are being used by them. They're very, very clever. That's how their ancestors took over so much of the world in 25 years from the time of Muhammad's death, in only 25 years. And I've given you that historical narrative before, and I'm not going to bore you with it again in my brief history of the world. The Arab invasions in a 25-year period, using small armies, engaged in this kind of horrific terror. They took over a large swath of the world, and we're bringing them in. You hear a sane nation does this in a time of Islamic terror? You bring them in by the hundreds of thousands. Oh my God, what kind of brains does it take to say no more immigration of any kind, period, end of story, and then start deportations, massive deportations, as fast as you can do it? You start by deporting the fiancé visa types from known terrorist countries. You get rid of them. Throw them out of the country. How much will it take till the country says, wait a minute, enough is enough? We need somebody with brains to put this together and start the machinery running in the other direction. Run the conveyor belt backwards. Run the conveyor belt south. Run them north. Run them east. Run them west. Get them out of here. Before there's so many of them that it's too late. There's a saturation point, and this has been studied. It's a very delicate issue. A very delicate issue. But if you study nations around the world and their Muslim populations, you'll find a very interesting statistic. And amongst that, in that statistical analysis, you'll find a saturation point, after which point, it's a point of no return. Now you know why Obama is doing everything he can to flood America with mainly single males of military age from Syria. Now, doesn't logic dictate that amongst these so-called Syrian refugees, a small percentage will eventually, or they're active jihadists or will become so? Wouldn't even the most progressive amongst you admit that? So you're bringing in, let's say, 100,000. It's going to be much higher than unless he stopped through some kind of act by Congress to stop this madman before it's too late. Let's say it's 100,000. Use it as an easy number to work with. So let's say the number we're told of Muslims who are radicalized is 1%. Now, 1% of 100,000 is how many? Come on, can you do the math? Robert, you could do the math. 1% of 1,000 is what? What's 1% of 10? 1. Okay, 1% of 10 is 1. What's 1% of 100? No, 1% of 100 is 1, not 1% of 10. 1% of 100 is 1. So 1% of 100,000 is 1,000. So look at what two of them did. You telling me we can afford 1,000 jihadists in this country? Excuse me, 1,000 more? Look what two of them just did. Look at the mayhem that two radical Muslims just did. And look what it just did to our nation. So you're telling me we can afford 1,000 of them amongst the Syrians? Because the best analysis is that it's only 1% of them who might be radical or become radicalized in time. Can we afford 50 more of these massacres? I'm doing the math for you. I'm using Aristotelian logic. I'm using analysis that even a child can do. I'm using an analysis that a six-year-old who has a brain could do. And any sane nation would say, no, we can't afford it. No, we don't want it. We're not bringing them in. Even though I was a good liberal yesterday, I'm not a good liberal today. I'm a sane liberal who wants to live. I don't want them here. I don't want them here. No, no immigrants, no Syrian immigrants, no immigrants from Muslim countries until we sort out the Muslims amongst us who have recently come in. Which ones of those are liable to go off like a rocket tomorrow? Why is anything I am saying offensive? I want to know if anyone out there finds anything I'm saying offensive and why. What is offensive about survival? Is there something offensive about survival? It's crazy. You know, we used to be blessed in this country with isolation because of where the continent is and very secure borders until we were invaded from within by Barack Hussein Obama and the people who put him in power. I remember reading years ago when I was a kid that we were protected from the scourges of Nazism because we had an ocean between us and Hitler. And we were protected from the scourges of communism because we had an ocean between us and Russia and China. I used to have a certain sense of comfort in that. And then I would say, you know, it's true. Then I said, well, we have borders and every cell, whether it be plant or animal, has a cell wall or a cell membrane. That's what keeps the cell together. The borders are our essential protection against invasion. That's what borders were created for. And then I wake up and everything has gone out the window. Every commonsensical method of protecting the population has been dismembered by this demonic individual in the White House. And I rest my case on that point. It's all him. He is demonic. He is doing it to us. He is open about it. You could look at him and see it. There's not a person who has a brain who can't see right through him. Unfortunately, there are only too many people. There are not too many people with the ability to even look at reality and see what's going on. Just listen to the dunces in the media, both during and after this horrific event, and you'll see the danger we are in. I'll be back in a minute to take your calls right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America.
In the past, 10, 11 years, more than 2,000 terror suspects have bought guns in the U.S., 91% of all suspected terrorists who try to buy a gun in a store in America walked away with his or her weapon of choice.
Thank you, Nancy. Thank you for the edification on guns. You're such an expert because you have Secret Service bodyguards. You don't need guns. I'm sure you have some in your house that were legally purchased, but we shouldn't have them because you're better than everybody. You're superior to everybody. You live on Pacific Heights. You know, you can do anything you want, and you don't, you know, we don't need guns. We, the people on the bottom of the hill. So they're trying, as we speak, to take away your right to bear arms. Now, look, we all know that these people had no right to buy guns, but they bought them anyway. And you say, well, what do you mean these people? What do you mean by these people had no right? Aren't they American citizens? Well, he was. But the FBI admitted today that he was in contact with a known terrorist sympathizer. They didn't do anything. Why didn't they break his door down and pull him out by his hair and throw him into a dark cell and find out what the heck he was doing? Why didn't they break into his garage before the bombs were pulled out? Why didn't they take his guns away before he used them in that handicap center? He was on a watch list. They didn't do anything. So we don't need gun control, but we need as a new leader of DHS, for example, new rules of engagement, new laws written to protect us from these maniacs, so the next Farig Zawul or whatever doesn't do it again. You know, but I am waiting for the media to cover this narrative because it's very disturbing to me. Where is the outrage for the excessive force that was used yesterday by the San Bernardino police and the FBI? I mean, to a liberal, this was quite upsetting. Don't Muslim lives matter? Weren't their hands up? Don't shoot in the car? Weren't they just running from the fear of these white males with these big tanks? I mean, did the police kill these two Muslims in cold blood? I want to know why Ayatollah Sharpton is not out there edifying this situation for us. We need Ayatollah Sharpton on the ground in San Bernardino to explain why the police used such excessive force on this poor newlywed couple, this innocent immigrant couple, with such a darling baby that they dropped off at that sweetheart of a grandmother.
We must close this outrageous loophole. Three times this week, Republicans overwhelmingly voted to protect terror suspects' ability to buy lethal firearms. The most recent time within the past hour when our motion...
You know, this is a dying nation. There's no better example of this being a dying nation than this octogenarian senile case holding such a very powerful position. And after such a terrible tragedy such as this, attacking not Muslim immigrants, attacking not CAIR, attacking not the DHS failures, attacking not the FBI failures, attacking not the president himself for permitting this open door policy to put us all at risk, but attacking guns. What senility? A senile old woman like this, and her friend there, the sister on Pacific Heights, Dianne Feinstein, another genius, another octogenarian, the Senate Intelligence Committee, no less, an old woman, afraid of guns on the Senate Intelligence Committee. Not a returning military veteran in the Senate. No. The strange Queen of Diamonds. WBOB Chris, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage. It's hard to listen to the daily news events that are caused by insane people committing and enabling atrocities who are detached from reality. And I really hate for this to sound like a kiss-up type of thing. I listen to a lot of talk radio, and I like yours a lot because it engages my mind differently than the other people. Sometimes you use older words like valise that probably no one knows what that means anymore.
Very, very funny.
That words. Sometimes you paint a picture with your comments and it kind of parallels the words. It's kind of hard to describe, but I can see a picture in my mind as you're talking about people sometimes.
Okay, let me explain. First of all, thank you for the compliments. And number two, I have explained before that I speak in pictographic terms. I am the only person in radio, maybe in television as well, who speaks in pictograms. And it's a product both of my thinking and my language. But I speak pictographically. The Chinese language is a language of pictograms. You know that, right? That their letters are actually pictures, correct?
Yes.
We've all heard that. I mean, well, most of us can't read Chinese, but if you go into a Chinese restaurant, you see a Chinese menu, you see little letters, but they don't, you don't know what they mean. They're pictures. Very complicated alphabet. Far more complicated than our English alphabet. And yet they paint pictures, in other words. Well, I do that verbally. Just inherently in me. I don't know how that happened. I'm not Chinese. God knows I wish I could read Chinese and write Chinese. I'd eat better Chinese food, but I'm not Chinese. But I do speak pictographically. You know what I'm saying, Chris?
I understand.
And I would be remiss not to tell you that I have a friend who's a physicist, a PhD physicist. He's a brilliant guy. He just read Government Zero, and he said to me, you write like Hemingway. If Hemingway were writing nonfiction, he would write the way you write. He said, every word that you write has a meaning. There are no wasted words. I said, I learned that as in my early days in science, to use as few words as possible to make my point. Use lean language. You know what I'm saying? Maybe that's what appeals to you.
I think it's
well, Chris, all I can say is this is not easy for me to sit through this massacre of America. Obama is overseeing a massacre of America. He reminds me of an Indian chief who sold out to the U.S. cavalry and ushered his own people to their slaughter. It reminds me of Indian chiefs who were bought out with wampum and booze, God knows what else, and sold their own Indians down the drain. That's what I feel like. I feel like an Indian brave sitting in a village watching the leaders bring in those who would burn my teepee to the ground.
I understand. Can I?
You want some pictograms? I just gave you some. How's that? There's some pictographic language. That is emotionally how I feel. Call me crazy if you'd like. So where do I get my salvation from in days like today? My children called me yesterday. Very intelligent people. They ask me, Dad, how are you dealing with all this? You're on the front lines of it. You have to deal with this every day. How are you dealing with it? They know I don't take a break from it 24/7. Ask anyone who knows me. I don't take a break from it, not for a second. It'll kill an ordinary man. But there's an old saying, that which does not kill you will make you stronger. I've gotten stronger as the years have gone on dealing with this cancer of liberalism. Liberalism is a mental disorder, and the disease is now endemic in the country. I don't think there's an aspect of our society that has not been poisoned by this mental thinking. This lack of ability to reason, this lack of ability to connect the dots and see where their thinking leads, where their policies have led us and are leading us to our own doom. Well, I'll tell you, I get my salvation through a couple of different ways. One of them is through nature. In one of the dwellings that I reside in, do my show, I live right near the water. I live near San Francisco Bay. And when things get really hectic for me, I stand right next to the water, and I watch the birds feed. I watch the seals when they're around. I watch the different species of birds hunting, fishing together, and they don't kill each other, which always amazes me. I see giant pelicans recently. They come in only very, 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 very seldom do they appear. Mainly it's seagulls here all the time. And then the various and other speed, the sand, no sandpipers here. But there are different species of birds. But nevertheless, the point is that when they're fishing, they don't peck each other. Through eons of evolution together, they've learned how to coexist. Now, why would you bring in one brand of humanity that has never gotten along with its neighbor? Not in its history of 1,400 years has there not been warfare between this species and its neighbor. Wherever you look on Earth, they don't like the Hindus. There was a civil war in India. They broke off a piece of India and created a country called Pakistan. You don't even know the history of that. The Muslims were at war with the Hindus for one grievance or another. They couldn't get along with the Hindus, so Gandhi decided to do something very noble. I'll tell you what, we'll give the Muslims a whole piece of India. We'll call it Pakistan. 1 million people died in the relocation. During this little peaceful relocation, and 1 million people killed each other. Hindus, Muslims, it was a nightmare. But then they figured, all right, it's all over now. They have Pakistan, they'll be nice and happy. No, they've been at war with India since Pakistan was created, because they have a grievance
over a disputed region.
Oh, yeah, there's still a problem. Ask the Hindus about their experience. Now let's go to Southeast Asia. See how well Muslims get along with their neighbor. Obama was just there, I think, 2 weeks ago, crying about some poor Muslim children that he wants to bring into the country from Burma. Now, why are the evil Buddhists kicking the Muslims out of their country? Well, because there was a war going on, a civil war. They didn't want to lose their whole country. So they said, enough is enough. We're not dealing with this anymore. But old Obama was there. He's bringing them in now. Bringing them into the land of the free and the home of the brave, where they'll get along just fine with all you Christians and Jews, as they have for, well, actually they don't. They don't, but they will here, though, because it's not who we are. We're different. It's not who we are. That's what the media covers. It's not who we are. We're better than that. We're better than that. We're better than that. It's not who we are. We're better than that. It's not who we are. 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 Young married couple, newlywed couple, newlywed couple, workplace violence, Christmas party, holiday party, workplace violence. Not who we are. Not who we are. Where is the head of Department of Homeland Security? The people are, the stockholders of the company called America saying, where is this jerk? He failed us again. Where is Jerky Johnson? Where is Jerky Johnson, the head of the DHS today? Anyone know where Jerky Johnson is? He failed us again. No, no problem, though. He's bringing in Syrians. He's busy signing them up, bringing them in, new army coming in. He's in charge of bringing them in, not kicking them out. You hear this? Did you ever see anything like this, that the head of the Department of Homeland Security would be tasked with flooding America with military-age males from a war-torn Muslim country instead of making sure that we don't have another attack here? Can you imagine such an upside, topsy-turvy world? Now I just got a report. Obama is planning on dumping Syrian refugees in Redlands, home of the terrorists, right in San Bernardino, and the people don't even want them. Can you believe this? Syrian African refugees are being dumped into Redlands by Barack Hussein Obama. It's incredible. Nobody can believe this, bringing them right into this area. More of them. San Bernardino plan for refugees. The area around San Bernardino, California, is the site of intense debates about Muslim immigration that immediate days before Wednesday night's horrific mass shooting. Police searched a home in Redlands, 15 minutes away from where the shooting occurred, as part of its investigation into the suspects. So far, the name Saeed Freak has been given as a suspect in the case. The U.S. State Department recently chose Redlands as the proposed site of a Syrian refugee settlement due to its already active Middle Eastern immigrant community. Now hold on to your chairs, all you good Catholics. Are you ready? I want you to get your crucifix, and I want you to hold it in your right hand. Catholic Charities was identified as a broker for the federal government program. Catholic Charities was identified as a broker for the federal government program. Catholic Charities was identified as a broker for the government program of bringing in Muslims. Citizens in Redlands, California took action in response to the area's Muslim immigration threat, appearing before the town's mayor in a public forum in October to say no, no, no. Catholic Charities was identified as a broker for the federal government program. Ooh, that hurts. Ooh, that hurts. That really is painful. 855-407-282. We welcome new callers. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2640.
What can make a difference, and clearly the evidence of mass shootings, in fact there is a mass shooting every day in this country, can be prevented by background checks, extending those background checks to the unlicensed sales.
Senator from
and also closing the loop.
Blumenthal with the weird voice. I think we need a background check on Blumenthal to see if he's sane. I would like a background check on Obama. Why didn't they do a background check on Obama before they elected him president? He wouldn't have passed. He couldn't have become his own Secret Service agent because of his known associations with known terrorists like Bill Ayers. If we had done a proper background check on Barack Obama before he became president, we might have had a sane nation, and most of these terrorist events wouldn't have occurred in this country. All we needed was a sane background check. And while you're at your background checks, why don't you do some background checks on the business dealings of major senators in the United States of America and their husbands and wives? Do some background checks on the senators whose, let's say, they were worth $3 million when they became a senator. Now they're worth $300 million. Do a background check on their husband. Do a background check on the husbands and wives and their net worth before they became politicians and after. Do a background check on CAIR. Did you know that Muzamil H. Siddiqui, a CARE spokesman who you have been seen speaking over the last 24 hours, wants to implement Sharia law here in America? Do a background check on CARE press conference speaker Muzamil Siddiqui. Do a background check, a proper one, Senator Blumenthal. Listen to clip number two. Do a background check on him. Go ahead.
Is it work, rage-related? Is it mental illness? Is it extreme ideology? At this point, it's really unknown to us, and it's too soon for us to speculate.
Yeah, right. All right. You got away with this for years now. Too soon to speculate. That's the spin that you learned from your friends at Harvard. Too soon to speculate. We're not speculating. We know the facts. We're not speculating. We're not speculating. We know the facts. It's not too soon to do anything. Because if you ever saw what this spokesman for CARE said back in the day when he hosted the Blind Sheik's talk on jihad, way back in the day, your hair would stand up to believe that no background check was done on CARE. Your hair would stand up. How is Obama not held accountable for all the shootings on his watch? Another mass shooting? Yeah, it happened again. But isn't it interesting how many of them happened since he's become president? Another mass shooting during Obama's reign. Why haven't we done a proper background check on Barack Obama? We still haven't seen his college records. Have you seen his college record, speaking of his background? You want to start in with a background check? Start with the politicians who are apologists for radical Islam. Start with a background check of everyone running the intelligence agencies. Start with your proper background checks. I'm for background checks. Do a background check on the news media. Do a background check on everyone in the news media. See where they came from and why they talk the way they do, why they cover for radical Islam, why they attack America, why they hate Christians and Christianity. Do a proper background check, because it's your life that's at stake. I'm for background checks, believe me. I am really for background checks. They're long overdue. We need proper background checks for Senator Blumenthal. We need proper background checks for Senator Feinstein. We need a proper background check for Jake Tapper. We need background checks to see why they're apologists for another mass shooting by Muslims and why they continue to put out the big lie that they don't know, there's no information, it's too soon to tell, it could be workplace violence. Yeah, we need background checks for sure, but you know they're not going to happen. I was the only one in the media to say the name 6 hours before anyone else yesterday, and I gambled. I said to Jim when he found it off the Twitter feed, I said, Jim, is this confirmed to be from Twitter? Because if I read this name out loud of Sadiq or Farouk, whatever his name was, I said, you realize this could be very, very, very dangerous to do. But I said, the people want to know his name. Remember the show yesterday? All you wanted to know was who the shooters were. They knew who it was. They knew his name was Freak, whatever, Saeed Freak. They wouldn't put it out there, though, because they didn't want you to put two and two together. They kept covering it up, and I knew by the cover-up that it was going to be a terrorist act. More specifically, Muslim terrorism in our heartland, covered up once again by those who got into their positions without any background checks.
The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
There are measures that can be taken that will make these mass shootings less likely. Background checks, better enforcement, as is apparent in California, of laws that exist right now, providing the resources that are needed to make assault weapons.
Can you believe this
really
man is a U.S. Senator, Blumenthal, this lunatic? Instead of saying we need to crack down on Muslim immigration, we need to stop the flow of Syrians, we need to make sure that those here are not going to go off like a skyrocket. He's attacking the Second Amendment. How do you people in Connecticut reelect an idiot like him? Now, this just came out from the Washington Times. It's linked up on the Drudge Report. This shows you it was definitely workplace violence and that it was the holiday party that set them off. San Bernardino killers erased digital presence day before the attacks. See, even though someone may have insulted him at the holiday party, said something offensive to a Muslim or to a Middle Easterner, they had rented a black SUV, they had made pipe bombs for weeks with other Muslim men in their garage. They bought AR-15s out of state, someone bought it for them. You know, made pipe bombs, and it was all because of the offensive party, obviously. But apparently this innocent newlywed couple began erasing their digital footprint a day in advance of the attack. This innocent newlywed Muslim couple deleted email accounts. This innocent Muslim newlywed couple disposed of hard drives. This innocent newlywed Muslim couple smashed their cell phones, according to law enforcement sources involved in the investigation. Officials are still working to determine what motivated Saeed Rizwan Freak and his wife, Tashin Malik, to storm a conference room inside the disability center during a holiday party and spray the room with bullets. It couldn't be their holy book. It couldn't be that at all, because that's never happened before on Earth. It didn't happen in Paris. It didn't happen in Mumbai. It never happened before. They killed 14. They injured 21, many of whom will die. And then, of course, there was the over excessive force by the police that mortally wounded the innocent newlywedded Muslim couple. And I think there should be a thorough investigation by Ayatollah Sharpton, because after all, Muslim lives matter. And we don't even know if their hands were up. I mean, did the police kill two Muslims in cold blood? And I want a thorough investigation. Because although the couple went to great lengths to conceal their plans, a cell phone recovered from Ms. Malik's body was only newly purchased and had only been used that day. Two other cell phones that were recovered had been smashed with a hammer and were expected to be sent to the Federal Bureau of Islam's forensic lab in Washington for examination. But they'll have to go through CARE first. I would think that the FBI's forensic lab first needs to get a mullah from CARE to tell them if they can do it properly. Authorities also noted that a hard drive and motherboard are missing from a computer found at the Redlands, California home that the newlywed Muslim couple rented. Now, on Thursday, that's today, investigators revealed that 12 pipe bombs and more than 4,500 rounds of ammo were recovered from the home. Now, that's in addition to the more than 1,500 rounds of ammo found in the SUV that the innocent newlywed Muslim couple used as they tried to evade police. It could be they were evading the police out of fear, out of racism. Someone could have triggered them. It's true they smashed their hard drive, bought body armor, made pipe bombs with fellow Muslims. But it could be they were triggered at the holiday party by some reference to Jesus, for example. Maybe somebody wore a cross and sent them off. Maybe somebody made a derogatory remark or looked at them the wrong way. And the police certainly overreacted, as you well know. I'm sure that Blumenthal or Dianne Feinstein would have done it more peacefully. They could have taken them in peacefully. Why couldn't they shoot them in the legs, for example, liberals would ask. Why didn't they taser them? Let's see. There are other methods, non-lethal methods to bring in crazed people like this. Taser, shooting them in the legs. Let's see. What else would a liberal come up with? Robert, can you think of anything else? Maybe Doctors Without Borders should have been called to have negotiated with them
as the car sat. Why did they have to riddle the car with bullets like that? Why did they do that? I mean, the officers began a pursuit. And it's true that Malik began firing at them from the back seat of the rented SUV as Freak drove to evade them. But they could have just been running away out of fear. Because this is not done in Saudi Arabia or Pakistan, where she's from. In all, the Muslim attackers fired 76 rounds at the police, while law enforcement officers unleashed 380 rounds. That's a lawsuit right there. I'm sorry. 380 to 76? Isn't that unfair? I mean, they were outgunned. What kind of country is this that cops have better weapons than the jihadis? And what about those armored vehicles that Obama tried to take away from local police that the libs said, oh, there's too many armored cars. We don't need a militarization of local police. They don't need to have military-grade vehicles. They should have gone after them on foot with a whistle and a canine. They shouldn't have even pursued them. They should have let them give themselves up. I'm sure they would have given themselves up with their grandmother. Where is this grandmother that they dumped the baby with? Where's that doll? I'd like to see her background. How about a background check on grandma? That's the daughter's, the one who apparently radicalized this poor innocent health inspector. Health inspector. He goes around to restaurants to see if there's rat turd in a hamburger. Health inspector. He got the lowest possible job you could get. But nevertheless, he started somewhere. And she radicalized him. He had no beard. He went to Saudi Arabia on a Hajj. During the Hajj, they fixed him up with the doll from Pakistan. Then he comes back and he has a beard and he's praying six times a day, building pipe bombs, collecting weapons, hanging out with guys in the garage in the middle of the night. And one guy saw it and wanted to call a policeman, and he was afraid to be accused of racial profiling. It shows you how we've been destroyed already. It just shows you how common sense has been warped and destroyed in this country. The SUV was rented 3 days ahead of the attack. Two assault rifles and two handguns found in the possession of the suspects were purchased several years ago, according to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. Both officials with the FBI and San Bernardino Police Department declined to say whether the Wednesday shooting spree at the Inland Region was motivated by terrorism. They're still investigating it. They're investigating it. But investigators already tracked down four individuals from the L.A. area who were previously under some sort of investigation by counterterrorism officials and have had some sort of communication with Freak. You know him as Farouk. In other words, they had him on the radar and they flopped again. They slipped through the cracks because of Obama gave him the hands-off job. You know what it's all about. The field officers knew this guy was no good. They knew he was about to go off. The last contact any of those other individuals had with Freak was in June, however, and the source said nothing fruitful had come of the interviews with those individuals because they couldn't waterboard him. If they had waterboarded him, I guarantee a lot of fruitful information would have come out. Were they sitting to have tea with the guy? They had mint tea and they sipped tea because it was the rules of engagement. They'd ask them some questions. Well, thank you, sir. Well, that's, we don't want to upset you. Investigators are still probing the possibility that Freak, who was a U.S. citizen, and Malik, the Freak's wife, who held a Pakistan passport, may have been radicalized by Islamist extremists, either in the U.S. or during trips the couple made to the Middle East, including to our good friends in Saudi Arabia, the land of peace and harmony. All right, well, that's the latest story. That's all. You want to comment on any of this? Go ahead, make my day. Comment on some of this. Officials are still working to determine the motive. Yeah, everyone knows the motive. Planned attack. Everyone goes to work in body armor in an SUV with loaded pipe bombs. But they'll figure it out. They're working on a narrative to give Obama and his radical regime so they can come up with it tomorrow. That's all. Play Blumenthal's voice. Just if you want to get sick to your stomach, this is a sitting U.S. senator from Connecticut who comes out. I never saw anything like this. What sane nation on earth would have a nut like this in the U.S. Senate? Listen.
What can make a difference, and clearly the evidence of mass shootings, in fact, there is a mass shooting.
Okay, stop. Robert, are you running this at a higher speed? Robert, are you speeding up the recording in some way? Are you sure that nobody put laughing gas into the room while he was speaking? Okay, listen to Frieto Blumenthal now. This is a U.S. senator a day after an attack like this. Listen.
There are measures that can be taken that will make these mass shootings less likely. Background checks, better enforcement
We need a background check on Blumenthal. That's what we need, an immediate background check on Blumenthal. and a background check on everyone in the Senate who is apologizing for these people. That's all. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COI.
Mass shooting every day in this country can be prevented by background checks, extending those background checks to the unlicensed sales, and also closing the loopholes that exist right now in the laws.
You know, these kinds of loopholes speaks, make a real... When Senator Blumenthal laughing gas speaks, there's a mass hooting. There's a mass hooting throughout the blogosphere. No one could believe a man who speaks like that would become a senator, except in Connecticut. Then it makes perfect sense. Yeah, there's a mass hooting every time he speaks. Here's a new one for you. Dems blast Republicans for demonizing Muslims. The Democratic National Committee renewed its push for Syrian refugees to be admitted to the U.S. today, Thursday morning, less than 24 hours after the San Bernardino shooting. Two main suspects are Muslims, one originally from Pakistan. But listen to this. In a statement just published, DNC lunatic chair Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz reports a conference call held Wednesday in which she and other Democrats bashed Republicans over the refugee issue. Here comes the punchline, which they compared to Jews fleeing Nazi Europe. It's not even worthy of a reply. If you could compare Syrians, Muslim Syrians, to Jews fleeing Nazi Europe, you truly are mentally ill. Not only does it insult the Jews who fled Hitler, it insults common sense to make such a comparison. Now, let's go to the callers, because I've given you an awful lot today. I can read my notes, if you'd like. Here are some of my notes. We've gone from Bonnie and Clyde to Farouk and Tashfeen. Malik, a native of Pakistan, came to the U.S. on a fiancé visa and later became a so-called lawful permanent resident. Did you know that Obama created a new loophole for Muslims? Well, anyone, actually. A fiancé visa? That's a new one. A fiancé visa. That means anyone could come in now. And you don't even need a fake green card. Not even a marriage now. Not even a fake sham marriage, which has been going on forever in this country. But a fiancé visa. By the way, where is DH Chief Johnson? I don't know where Fed Johnson is. No one could find him. Why isn't his mosque being investigated for other associated problem adherence? I wrote this morning, why isn't the mosque where this guy prayed every day being looked into by the FBI? Pardon me, but you see, should care be closed down for covering up the slaughter by saying that they don't know why? It could be rage, it could be work-related. Let's see what else I wrote. Where is the third shooter? Oh, you forgot about that already. Every eyewitness there stated there were three shooters. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I remember all day long we heard three shooters. Three shooters! I'm Shep Smith. Go and get Shep Smith, the dumbest man in the history of broadcast media, who doesn't even fit into his thin suits anymore. I don't know what he's on. What is Shep Smith doing to his body? He looks ballooned up. They have to buy him a new suit every day at Fox News. Even that moron said that there were three shooters. Yesterday, turn on, rerun the tape. Three shooters, three active shooters. Wolf, it's back to you.
Well, we're following an incident. It could be workplace related because they came from a party somewhere in San Bernardino. And we don't know who they are, but we know there's three active shooters. Back to you, Melissa.
Three active shooters, 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 three active shooters. There's one active shooter on the ground and two in a car. Well, now there's only two active shooters. Now there's one active shooter, three active shooters. Wolf, I don't know how many there are. Wolf, how many active shooters are there?
I don't know. Ask the FBI how many active shooters.
There were three yesterday. Now there's what? Two? Bonnie and Clyde got blasted in their car. And the other one they said was Justin Vall. They don't know who he was. He was there. They shot him. They put him away. They let him go. They was wanted for another outstanding traffic ticket. Who was he? Everyone's asking. Anyone with a brain is saying, wait a minute, stop the tape. We're not that dumb. Can anyone listening to the show tell me they didn't hear three, that there were three yesterday? Raise your hand. There were three yesterday. Now today, oh no, there were only two. The other one disappeared. Yeah, we had him, we arrested him, and released him. He had nothing to do with it. He's just there by accident. What are you there by accident? You were there by accident? They were in this together. Didn't they go in that clinic, three of them, and give a spraying? All right, that's what we were told. Three men first. Now, the biggest shock was that there was a woman. I love that one this morning in the media.
Oh, Wolf, did you hear there was a woman? No, that's not possible. Women don't do those things. All women are good. This is bad for Hillary if it's a woman. Because all women are peace-loving. All women are peaceful. We can't have a woman, Wolf.
Well, I'm afraid that there's a woman involved.
Well, that's not possible. I've never heard of anything like this, said the little men in the media. Never heard of a woman involved in terrorism.
I guess they didn't know that in Paris, the women massacred pretty good on that floor there. They pulled out knives. They mutilated people. Oh, yeah, women did that. You didn't follow it up with the story, the facts. I did. Your Muslim friends, your practitioners of the religion of peace in Paris, after they executed those young people in the dance hall in Paris, they slowly tortured them with knives. They mutilated them. The same way your friends in the PLO, it came out only yesterday, 20 years after the fact, castrated an Israeli athlete who they first tied up. The wrestler made the other Israeli athletes watch as they cut his private parts off. Because, you know, it's not in their religion book to do things like this. These are just rogue terrorists who get it in their own mind to do things like that. It's not inherent in the people. It's not inherent in their bloodthirsty cult. No, no. It's just pure rogue people who do things like this. So I would say that there's nothing to worry about in bringing in 100,000, 200,000, 300,000 Syrian males of military age. Because even if it's 1% of 100,000, that's 1,000 terrorists possible. Aren't we told that it's only 1% who might be wrapped? Well, yesterday there were two of them. So now 1% of 100,000 is 1,000 people. So now magnify yesterday by 50, and that's what's going to happen in this country. Just on a statistical basis. I know you sound, I can't be. Come on, savagers. They told us that only 1% could be radical. So that's 1,000 possible yesterday, right? 1,000 of them.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Last 30 minutes of this very long, long, hard day. Can someone please explain to me how three people got out of that SUV? We saw three people come out of it. Remember during the final shootout, I saw three people get out of it. We heard there were three people shooting in the building, according to all the eyewitnesses. How did that change to two people somewhere along the way? Who was the third person? You know, this can become like the Zagruda tapes. This keeps up. It's like the Boston Marathon bombing. You remember the strange videotape of men with black backpacks with headphones who were seen walking near the Sarnoff brothers just before the bomb went off? I remember that. Nobody ever explained who they were. Instead, we were told, go, move along, nothing to see here. All these terrorist events happening. Wow, crazy. My God, we better not focus on this. You know, it's very upsetting. Take your pills. Go to a nice, go see a movie. See one of Zuckerberg's friends' movies. Go see a nice movie by Harvey Weinstein, some violent film or some slutty pornography produced by Hollywood. You'll feel better. Take some Soma. Get your mind off these things. Don't focus on these things. I mean, you know, why do you want to focus on things like this? It only makes you upset. Isn't ignorance bliss? Isn't war peace? Isn't happiness sadness? Isn't sadness happiness? Isn't reason painful? Why do you want to reason when it's so painful? Just take Soma. Take your Soma and listen to the government's messages. They're very soothing. And take the guns away from everybody. Because guns are dangerous. Look what they did yesterday. Ipso facto, guns are bad. I mean, guns are very bad. Look what they did yesterday with guns. If there were no guns, there would be no violence. Well, and they would use knives. If there were no knives, they use sticks. No sticks, they would... Let's go back 1,400 years when there were no guns. How in 25 years did the Muslims conquer such a large portion of the earth without guns? What were they using? They raped. They killed with stones. So you could say stone violence. I mean, when you stone a woman to death or you stone a homosexual to death, that's stone violence. So you could outlaw all the stones in the Middle East and then they only have sand, they bury you in sand. Ah, darn it. There must be some way to stop this violence. Then we could live in a perfect liberal world. Look, I'm going to go back to my main point. I can only be sarcastic up to a point. I love sarcasm because it relieves me of tension. I made one point, which is that only racial profiling can help prevent the next Muslim jihad in the U.S. I stand by those words, and I'll tell you why. The neighbors said, he was a construction worker, he saw Middle Eastern men going in and out of the garage for a long period of time. Of course, they were building pipe bombs, we know now. And he wanted to report them, but his friend, he didn't want to do it, and he thought his friends would consider him a racist. Now, this means that you've been destroyed already. Your mind has been destroyed. I say we need racial profiling in all police work, as we had in this country for a long period of time. The only way we'll ever survive is with racial profiling. Agree or disagree? Ari on WFTL, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I'm an ex-Israeli Sky Marshal. I was 8 years a Sky Marshal in Israel anti-terror unit when I was younger. But I still training. When I heard your message this morning, I mean, not this morning, a few hours ago, the Ten Commandments list, I call it, and the profiling, I said, wow, he hit the nail on his head. The profiling is number one issue here. Because if you don't...
All right, well, let me explain. Okay, you're a former Israeli air marshal, and you're saying racial profiling is the only thing that'll save us. I happen to know that you use profiling that goes beyond racial profiling. You use profiling per se, meaning not just racial. Am I correct?
Yeah, we just identify the beast and say, hey, the beast looks like that, has eight heads or whatever, and you cannot say it doesn't. And the moment you ignore it, you have a problem.
I got to tell you, Ari, this is funny. In what years were you an Israeli Sky Marshal?
I was in the year 75, pushed to 8 years up. And I
wait, no, this is hilariously funny. In 1978, I went to Israel for the first time with my two young children, my wife and two young children. I was profiled at the airport because I had long hair. I looked like Charles Manson. And they immediately pulled us aside. In fact, they inspected my poor daughter's diaper. Do you know that?
Yeah, I can't.
In order for me to get on El Al, they put us through some grilling. And I'm not a Muslim, so I went through the profiling. I laughed when they did it. I figured, look, this is their technique. I got nothing to hide. I didn't care. But they used profiling on me. They thought I was a terrorist because I had long hair and a beard.
The moment you just bring some suspicion, they ask you so many questions. And by the way, something very interesting those years. Now when you travel the world, they ask you this main question, did you transfer something to somebody? Is somebody give you something? This happened in 1975 or a little bit below that. It was in Switzerland, and I was in that time. A woman came, she was pregnant, she was holding a big boombox. And for some reason, the person didn't like the whole picture, and they start asking her questions, and turned to be that her Palestinian husband gave her a bomb that will activate it high up in 30,000 feet with his baby in her belly, and she was supposed to be explode with the Israeli airline, you know,
That's unbelievable. I would say it's unbelievable, except it's unfortunately too believable. They have no respect for human life. That's a really weird death cult, that is. Ari, let me send you the only thing I can send you for Hanukkah, which is a copy of Government Zero. Stay on the line. For the Jewish listeners, you know, Hanukkah begins Sunday night. It sounds like a child's holiday, but it has some kind of spiritual value to people who have studied what it means. And actually, I should tell you in about 30 seconds or less, it's one of the few holidays I, as a sort of non-religious individual, still like. I mean, you know, somebody's up there for sure. For sure, there's somebody created this whole mess that we're in. And I'll tell you the Hanukkah story another time. I wanted to go into another thing about God for one second. I laid in bed this morning, again, I had another thought. I said, if there really is a God in heaven, why does he let a thing like this happen? How does he let these two Muslim maniacs... Again, Muslim maniacs go and slaughter innocent people who had no chance to defend themselves. There was no chance to fight back. Nobody had a gun. They were developmentally disabled or the nice people who worked in there. They shot them like fish in a barrel. Why would a just God, let a thing like this happen? Well, there's so many answers that you can come up with tragedies like this, and religious people always have an answer. I'm not a religious person, so I don't have that kind of answer. I have a sort of pragmatic answer, and here's my sort of pragmatic answer. God is trying to awaken America before it's too late. God is literally speaking to you through these horrific acts, warning you that you have, I got to put it in such a way that's not a career killer, that you have either naive liberals running things, or fellow travelers running things, or outright enemies running the country. And they're trying to warn you that you must defend yourself, protect yourself, and by all means, you better understand that there's a whole year left for this demon in the White House to undo everything that's going to save us. A whole year. This man is relentless in his pursuit of chaos. And so maybe God wants to awaken us. I mean, I heard the same kind of argument, which I thought was ludicrous at one point, by religious people when I would ask them. I challenged them point blank. You tell me there's a God in heaven? How did he let the Germans kill 6 million Jews and 9 million others? How did he let him how did they let the Germans slaughter 3 million Jews? What kind of just God would do that? I heard every answer in the book. And I met Israelis who told me that they were religious before the Holocaust and became warriors after the Holocaust. I heard everything. I heard every possible answer to every question you can imagine. All I know is that you can have an Uzi in one hand and a Bible in the other. It's not either or, it's both and. It's that simple. You can hedge your bet. Make believe you're at Las Vegas. Have a Bible in one hand, whatever your religion is, and have a weapon in the other hand, because that's all you can do. You gotta hedge your bet. How do we know if there's a God or not? There's no proof. Well, there is proof if you're religious, and there's no proof if you're not religious. Does it matter one way or the other? If it's one of your innocent relatives who's just been butchered by these animals, does it really matter? You're gonna tell me you're gonna find God's gonna give you some salvation today? Going and crying in a church is going to make you feel better? Or going in a synagogue after another slaughter in Israel is going to make them feel better? I don't know. I don't have an answer to any of these questions. I mean, each individual has to cope with tragedy and horror and terrorism in their own way, and the Israelis probably know more about it than I do. I don't live there. I almost live there, but I don't live there. I decided not to, and I told you that story once. I went there in that year of 78. I was going to move to Israel for a whole host of reasons. The main was affirmative action had kept me out of my chosen profession, which was being a professor, even though I had written 6 books and I had a first-rate PhD with a 3.9 index out of 4. I was a perfect candidate to be a great professor, but they were only hiring women, minorities, and illegal aliens at the time. So I was so infuriated by it, because I had a very, very good background, that the chairman, or whatever he was, of Hebrew University, who happened to be a brilliant, worldwide, brilliant chemist, invited me to Israel. And I went there. Listen to this. Very interesting. He said, I can give you a 2-year fellowship in your field of medicinal chemistry, ethnobotany. And of all things, he says, you're going to work on the West Bank with the Arabs, collecting plants and asking their folk healing. Thank God I didn't get the fellowship. But that's a separate story to that one. But let me tell you how spiritual this story really is, just as a little side note if you're interested in the story. As is my habit, the wife and children were sleeping in the Jerusalem YMCA. Beautiful building, by the way. And I went for a walk that night on the cobblestone streets to commune with the spirits of the city, to feel the city. And I heard my deceased father, who had died 8 years before, speak to me. I said, I didn't mean he came down in the street. I'm not Jimmy Carter. I don't drink lighter fluid and wave snakes over my head. I'm saying I heard my father speak to me sort of in my own mind. And he said to me, I was an immigrant to America. Why would you want to make your son an immigrant to another land? I went home the next day. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO. All right, so let's begin with clip number 5, where Obama says we don't know why this happened. Listen to the ludicrous statement that your president makes in 5.
At this stage, we do not yet know why this terrible event occurred. We do know that the two individuals who were killed were equipped with weapons and
All right, let's stop right here. The guy is a, such an unskilled liar that you can't even listen to anymore. Everything he says is so full of holes. Equipped with weapons. They're also equipped with racial hatred. You could say they were also equipped with religious hatred. You could also say they were equipped with praying six times a day. You could blame that if you wanted, couldn't you? So why would you focus on guns? It was guns that saved everyone else. The police guns. That's what saved the rest of the people from a... You know, remember when they left the massacre scene, they moved away very slowly? I kept saying, where's the car, where's the car, where's the car? How could they not find it? Where's the helicopter? I kept saying, where? What do you mean the car is missing? I couldn't understand it. Then it came out an hour later that the black SUV left at a very slow pace. So I said to myself, I know what they're doing. They're mocking the police, but they weren't mocking the police. Looking back now, what they were doing was they were trying to have the police follow them because they wanted a massive shootout. That's what their instructors in Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, or other some other hellhole told them to do. Go out in flames. Go out with as big a shootout as you can. The virgins are awaiting you. Just make it as dramatic as you can. More bullets, better. More mayhem, better. Make it a big shootout. A big shootout. That's what they were told. Now, the same president a week ago told us that there's no credible threat. Do you have that, Robert? This is unbelievable. Any other society would fire a CEO like this. The next minute they demand out, out, out. Take all of your cohorts with you. Out. Listen to this.
Anytime there's an event, we learn something from it. Now, right now, we know of no specific and credible intelligence indicating a plot on the homeland.
Stop. That was last week, after the last Muslim mayhem. So that means he's failed us. That means all our intelligence agencies are full of holes. They failed us. We are the stockholders. We want a new CEO. We want a new CEO, and we want new leadership in every department in this country. But you're not going to get it because we live in a dictatorship. If we lived in a participatory democracy, I can guarantee you there would be a call for a new election tomorrow, and this man wouldn't be here anymore. There'd be a wholesale change of administration. I'd be remiss if I didn't play this for you. Yesterday, I was the first one, hours before everyone else, to name the shooter 6 hours before mainstream media. Play clip 21, please. This comes to us from Twitter News on the Minute. Breaking news. A man named Farouk Saeed is a possible suspect off the police scanner. A man named Farouk Saeed is a possible suspect. Again, this is only speculation, but it's being reported right now from Twitter at News on the Minute. A man named Farouk Saeed is a possible suspect in this cowardly shooting at this disability center. This is a very disturbing story. They walked into the conference room with three rifles and opened fire. Now, there's one little disturbing detail, one tiny one that may not be related. Some people were at a Christmas party. Now, you could put two and two together. You start piecing the evidence together if you're a crime scene investigator. Three men unidentified. Christmas party, Farouk Saeed. I just wonder, am I allowed to even think that? Well, you wouldn't dare say it to your superior. No, if you work for DHS, you would never kick that up to who you report to. No, you would never say that because you'd lose your job. So don't even suggest it if you're in the DHS or the FBI. Sit there like a dummy and make believe you don't know. Wait for the geniuses at the top to tell you what to think. Wait until the great president gives a speech before you say anything about who possibly could have done this or where they're hiding. At least that's what I'm thinking. That was yesterday, 6 hours before everyone else. I took the chance. Unfortunately, I was right. And it was because I felt that as a commentator, I had not only the right, but the responsibility to my audience to comment on that ongoing tragedy as honestly as I could. It's all I've got to offer you, nothing else. I have no lipstick. I have no nylons. I have no Manalo shoes. In other words, I don't work for Fox News. This is the Savage Nation. Let's pray for a better tomorrow. Thank you for listening, and please do check out Government Zero.